Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've got a new Lobson tour in the house. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we barely know what we're talking about. I said yesterday, was that yesterday we were talking about?
No, I think it was
two days ago.
Wednesday.
So I was talking about all of the fish that you could catch in looking at this Trump administration, their Justice Department, what they're pursuing, what they can catch, what they can realistically reel all the way in. There's a lot there. You've got James Comer issuing subpoenas to the Clintons to come in to testify, to give depositions in regards to the Epstein case. That might be at the absolute top. Maybe Barack Obama and Russiagate, but as far as salaciousness goes and what people on the whole in the electorate seem to be pounding their fists on the table, it seems like the Epstein files are still the biggest. That's the most common public demand, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
You got to be kind of in the weeds a little bit to be like, but Russia.
Yes, it's still Epstein. But I think more people are waking up to this story than we give them credit for.
Sure. But you'd have to give Donald Trump the time of day to even consider the fact that maybe he's not the villain that he's been made out to. Because if you're somebody who hates Donald Trump and has always hated Donald Trump, probably because you've been lied to and you've been suckered. But regardless, if you're still that person, you don't care that the Russia stuff was made up. You want to high five those people for trying.
You nailed it. That is exactly right. You don't care whether it's true or not. You already have your set of beliefs and you're going to go with it regardless.
Yeah. What was it that was it Brennan who said in the intelligence report when they're like, when Barack Obama directs the intelligence community to redo it? The intelligence community report assessment, I should say, I think it's an ICA, comes back in 2016 after Donald Trump has won the presidency and they're like, Donald Trump didn't do any collusion with Russia. That didn't happen. There's no evidence that suggests that. And Barack Obama goes, go look at it again. And come back with something different. And the people in the intelligence community are saying to, I think it was Brennan, I don't think it was Clapper, it was one of the two. I at least now know whose face belongs to which name. These are swamp creatures, so I'm trying to, it's been a minute since we've had to dig deep into this. But I believe it was Brennan. They tell him this isn't accurate. We can't put this intelligence in here and say that's what this means, that Donald Trump did some collusion here. We can't say that. That's not what the evidence says. And they go to the Steele dossier and they say the Steele dossier, this stuff in here is not provably accurate. There's nothing in here that's provably accurate. We know that it was paid for by Hillary Clinton. We know that there was an investment that was made 100% because of political needs to win that 2016 election. That's where this came from. And there's nothing in here that's provably true. And Brennan says, but doesn't it ring true? That is a quote in my head that I will not forget. The idea that somehow or another in Brennan's head, the information that was alleged fits the bill. The guys at the very top of our investigative departments are like, kind of tracks for me, good enough for me. That is mind-blowing that you could take something like that and then say, all right, we can give Obama what he wants. Not what is real, not what is true. We can give him what he wants. And so they did. And now you are here in August of 2025. And we're still talking about Russia collusion and the absolute saboteurs who tried to steal power in the American government away from the American people by sabotaging Donald Trump and his presidency. That's for a fact. These are huge, huge things. But still, you've got Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. I can't get the picture of Bill Clinton sitting in that chair in that blue dress out of my head.
Wait, that's a real picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a painting.
Oh, that's what it is. That's right. I knew it wasn't AI because I have the image in my head, but I couldn't place it.
Isn't it weird how you have to ask yourself that every time you see anything ever now?
It's a new world.
And it's only going to get better.
Worse.
Same. Epstein, Clinton's, huge. The former president of the United States, the first black president of the United States, apparently was willing to deceive everybody downstream from his small circle of people in government to sabotage the future commander-in-chief of the United States. That is crazy stuff. Meanwhile, Adam Schiff, my blue lobster.
All right, here we go.
Let's go. He's under investigation, right?
Yes.
We talked a little bit about, obviously, what do you call somebody who hunts lobsters?
A lobstentour.
Yes, that is facts. And
we didn't just make that up.
No, this is just kind of like Obama going, make it so. Right? And then people are like, lobstentour it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Media's going to carry lobstentour now.
My goal, my professional number one bucket list goal right now is to try to get lobstentour on like a mainstream channel.
It'll take us a couple decades.
That's all right. I'll know I've made it. I can retire after that. We need to Google that and make sure it doesn't mean something else before I just.
I don't even know how to spell it.
I think you could spell it however. I'd throw a rando X in there.
Nope.
He is under investigation for mortgage fraud. And then, of course, today we find out Fox News reports under Ashley Oliver, David Spunt, and Jake Gibson collaboration, the Department of Justice convened a grand jury to investigate New York Attorney General Letitia James, marking an escalation in President Donald Trump's fight with New York's top prosecutor. The investigation is being run out of Albany, New York, and focused on possible deprivation of rights allegations. Two well-placed sources familiar with the probe told Fox News Digital. The investigation is an early stage, but Fox News Digital has learned that James's office received subpoenas for documents this week, including for information related to her civil fraud lawsuit against Trump. Separately, Attorney General Pam Bondi has authorized a special prosecutor, Ed Martin, to investigate allegations of mortgage fraud involving James and Blue Lobster, by addition, California Democratic Senator Adam Schiff. A grand jury in Virginia will investigate claims involving James. A grand jury in Maryland will investigate claims involving Schiff. We continue. What's the verb of lobstentouring? Is that
you
it?
You just said it. You kind of backed into it.
Is this how the left makes up words?
Yes.
And Gen Z?
Yes.
What is an intersection there?
Less so than there used to be.
There's adulting and there's lobstentouring.
Mm-hmm. And only one is done in Maine.
I said this off air. I'll repeat it now. I want everybody to get their comeuppance in a really, really big way. But if the only person who ends up in jail is Adam Schiff, I will be satisfied.
He is, would you say, insufferable? Every time he speaks.
I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know if it goes far enough.
It encapsulates my feelings whenever he speaks.
This is interesting. This brings me to the YouTube live chat poll. And this is a sincere poll. Because I'm going to tell you right from the very beginning, I'm going to vote no on this poll. It's a no for me. Is commenting on J.B. Pritzker's weight fair game? I said this all week long. Illinois has had a banner week. And you could just go back and rewind the tape. On the first full week of August, and you could look at why Illinois is so bass-ackwards in everything that they do. And none of it really has anything to do with what size clothing J.B. Pritzker wears. I do think that anytime that there's a comment made about a female who's in politics or something like that, if it's a comment about physical attributes, the women come out. And this is a bipartisan thing, too. They're like, men don't have to deal with this. Only women are the ones who... That's not true. I don't really hear many people at all talking about J.B. Pritzker without some sort of tongue-in-cheek comment about his size. I really, really try hard not to make those comments. But he kind of gets under my skin so much that sometimes it's like, that's why I don't like it, because it's just the cheapest shot. And it, when I've thrown all the moneymaker shots that have to do with his gross hypocrisy, his willingness to go on Stephen Colbert and make a joke about how kindergartners drew the maps in Illinois while he's trying to be the savior of the Democratic Party by talking about how Texas shouldn't do exactly the same dang thing. That enrages me. I don't like to do this, to talk on radio, to have these conversations rooted in emotion. It's okay to let a little emotion come in and sprinkle in the recipe there while you're giving a thought or an analysis of something, but it shouldn't be driven by emotion, because in my mind, that's what the other side does. Everything is driven by emotion, and every once in a while, some salient thinking slips its way in the back door. But there are, I don't know, it's like 4 out of 5 times if somebody's talking about J.B. Pritzker, they're commenting about his weight. And the question today is that fair game? And I will highlight, don't you hear that, where like if there's a female and she's not exactly the standard of beauty that people I'll defend Hillary Clinton in this too. And you could go back to the very beginning of me being on the radio. I don't need to know about what you think about Hillary Clinton's pantsuits. She's awful. It doesn't matter what she's wearing. She's not awful because of the way she dresses. She's awful because she's awful. Does it matter? Should we collectively stick to the issues as opposed to the critiques on the physicality of somebody? There's a lot to criticize with J.B. Pritzker.
Let me throw this in the mix, because this week South Park had a very, very watched episode that involved Charlie Kirk and Kristi Noem. And you know what they did to Kristi Noem? They made fun of her looks.
Yes.
Made fun of her looks, and she came out and
said,
"Shouldn't
have commented on it.
That's below the belt. You can't do that." And
no, she didn't say that. I want to correct you on that, because this does matter. She didn't say it was below the belt and you can't do that. She said it was lazy.
Okay. But either way, she was criticizing it because they were just going after her looks.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fair. I actually thought the jokes were lazy.
Yeah.
Myself.
Like, do better. That's
yeah,
the best
it was,
you
it was
can
the
do.
Easy route.
I think part of the South Park episode that included her like started with her shooting a dog.
Yes. I thought it was going to be more about her posing for the cameras. That would have been a better take for
like
her.
Like a show, but not just
a
the
showman.
Physicality.
But they just did the plastic surgery thing.
Gosh dang it. See, I'm reading your comments now. I need to know what you guys think about this. I said off air, I think this is going to be kind of a 60-40 poll vote. You guys might surprise me one way or the other. I don't really know how you guys feel about the cheap shots. So I'm talking specifically against J.B. Pritzker. He's the biggest Democratic doofus out there right now. So there's a lot of political hay to make over what he's doing. Let us know what you think. I'm going to feed your comments. When we come back, excited to have Rabbi Chaim Landa on the show. He's the organizer of the 5th annual St. Charles Jewish Festival. And we wanted to give him an opportunity to talk about what's going on in St. Charles this weekend. We'll be right back.
I'm John.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here on a Friday afternoon. 92 degrees and sunny, according to my computer, in the 65-degree room that we're standing in right now. Hope you're enjoying some beautiful summer weather here. As we kind of get towards the end of the summer, there's still a lot going on, and we wanted to bring on here Rabbi Chaim Landa, who is the organizer of the 5th Annual St. Charles Jewish Festival that's coming up here this weekend. Rabbi, thank you for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
My pleasure. Good afternoon.
So I want to get to this Jewish festival that's taking place Sunday, August 10th, from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Lewis and Clark Boathouse. parking lot. But I do wanted to give you an opportunity to speak a little bit too. We covered this yesterday with the Clayton Police Department, the incidents that took place in Clayton. There's an alleged hate crime that took place. Fires set ablaze multiple vehicles with some very awful anti-Semitic language written on the ground. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on that event and where your organization is right now with it.
Sure. Yeah, it's worrisome. It's concerning. It really hit home. And I think the important thing to remember, we sometimes get very fixated, and obviously something like this puts us all on high alert and very concerned. But it's important to remember the power of positivity, the power of light. And this has really been post October 7th, and it's something that kind of has emerged. Within the Jewish community, people are really leaning in to their Jewish identity. And people are standing stronger and prouder. And I think that's a really important thing. It's interesting. We're talking about the festival as well, and the festival is just coming a couple of days after this terrible incident. People are they're thirsty for opportunities such as this to be proudly and publicly Jewish, and also for the greater community. You know, most people, the vast majority of people, are good.
Yeah.
And creating an opportunity for people to rally around the Jewish community, particularly out here in St. Charles, it's a really, really special thing. And I would say that it's an embrace, it's a hug, and it's just that much more important now.
Rabbi Landa speaking with us right now, the organizer of the 5th Annual St. Charles Jewish Festival taking place this Sunday. Can you talk to me a little bit about, if people listening right now aren't as familiar with the Jewish community here in the St. Louis area, your particular area in the St. Charles area, how big is the Jewish community here?
So there are 6,000 Jews in St. Charles County. It makes up a very large percentage of the Jews in our region. But it wasn't only until about 5 years ago that we established a presence out here, a Chabad Jewish Center. And it's interesting, before we made the move, my wife and I, and founded this center, people were saying things like, there's no Jews out there. And for the Jews that we were meeting within the county, so many thought they were the only one. And we still meet some people who think they're the only Jew in the county. So we've really made it a priority to bring people together. Because when you're in the same room, when you're at the same event, and especially when it's large numbers, like the thousands that are going to be joining us at the St. Charles Jewish Festival on Sunday, it reminds people you're not alone.
Yeah.
We're well represented, and it's in a fun and meaningful way. So that's the story in short, but right now we are growing vibrant Jewish community, and it's just been a wonderful 5 years. And I think the most beautiful piece, or a very beautiful piece within the story, is how the greater St. Charles County community has responded. All the county executive and the mayor of St. Charles and the mayor of St. Peter's and Wenzel, all, and O'Fallon, all of the mayors out here, and just the leadership, have been so welcoming, so positive. And I think that the festival that we have, which is now, this is the largest annual Jewish event taking place in the region. And for St. Charles to be the host, I think that's just a very, very beautiful thing.
Well, Sunday, August 10th, that's this Sunday coming up, 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Lewis and Clark Boathouse parking lot. I think there are a lot of people listening right now. Of course, politically and geopolitically, the world is paying attention to the Jewish community right now. And I know that certainly here on this show and this station and with our audience that is out there, there is an enormous amount of support that is coming from us to the Jewish community. I'm thinking about this event being in St. Charles. We have a ton of listeners out there. Is this something where you're trying to bring Jewish people together to celebrate? Are you inviting people of other walks of life and faiths and all of that to come in and experience your community?
Absolutely. This event is for everyone. And I would say about half the people that have been coming and likely will come are not Jewish. So it's everyone is welcome. And it's really an opportunity for people to come together, to connect in a positive, joyful, meaningful way, and also an opportunity to learn about the Jewish culture and the traditions and hear the music, taste the foods. So yeah, absolutely. This is for everyone. And we have a special emphasis on activities for families with young children, from a petting zoo to cultural crafts, balloon art, inflatables. We also have what we call the Shuk experience, which is modeled after the open marketplaces that you can find all over Israel. And it's just, you know, anything can be sold at the Shuk. So we'll have jewelry, we'll have Judaica, we'll have candies, we'll have different clothing items. There'll be art. It will really be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing cultural experience, of course, for you to connect with more people within the Jewish community here in the listening area, but also for people who want to learn more. We've been hearing a lot about Israel. We've been hearing a lot about the Jewish people. There's a lot of support that exists. And this is a great opportunity for everybody to come together in a really great cultural experience this Sunday, August 10th, from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Lewis and Clark Boathouse parking lot. Rabbi, thank you for being with us here today. I think I'm really grateful we were able to connect and make this conversation happen. And I hope that you have an amazingly successful event this weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Rabbi Chaim Landa, the organizer of the 5th annual St. Charles Jewish Festival. It's kind of cool to be able to go somewhere here in our community and experience something that is so top of mind for people who pay attention to the news. But if you're not personally connected with somebody who is a member of the Jewish faith or a Jewish cultural experience, and you're interested in learning more, this would be a really cool opportunity to take the family out and see. And a petting zoo.
Yeah, it sounds great. St. Charles area, so if you're in that area, it's like really backyard, easy to do.
Lewis and Clark Boathouse parking lot. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about the poll.
Okay.
Get your thoughts on this. Give you a little bit of time to prepare your thoughts. Is commenting on J.B. Pritzker's weight fair game, yes or no? We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. YouTube live chat poll for today is commenting on Governor J.B. Pritzker's weight fair game, yes or no? No, but I'm actually surprised at how many people openly do this in like the top tiers of media.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's not just here in Illinois or
no,
where we
it
are.
Almost seemed, well, I don't know if it's more in the national news, but there doesn't really seem to be any reservation in doing it. I don't like it. I'm a no on this. I don't think that we need to comment on J.B. Pritzker's weight. I don't think it has anything to do with how bad of a governor he is. You know, I'll say like Gutfeld, he doesn't miss an opportunity to slam on Chris Christie.
Right.
He's a Republican. Maybe not the air quotes right kind of Republican. But in those essences, it's like fair game either side. What do you think?
I'm a yes. I think it's okay. I think he's a public figure, and this is part of the territory. He's a big chubby guy. This is what's going to happen when you're the governor of a major state and you're a big chubby guy.
Scooter says nobody's weight should be fair game. It's hypocritical.
I don't know. I just don't think that. I just don't care. I don't care. Like, when people do it, I don't really care. I also don't think, to your point, though, that it's really the strongest argument to make about the guy.
You're kind of missing the opportunity.
So I don't typically make these jokes. And part of that is just that I think they're easy jokes. And I'm like, eh, I'm above easy jokes. I gotta make better jokes.
You're not above it. You think you're better.
I think I'm better than making the easy joke. In a way, I just think if you're going to make a political point against J.B. Pritzker and you include that, that's an easy way for people to say, oh, you're just making fun of him based on his weight, when really we don't like his policies and the way he's governing. But I also don't care when people do it. So that's why I say yes.
Ender said, of course it is. Okay. Does it make it right? Not necessarily, but it's still fair game. So kind of delineating, like, yeah, you can do it, but it doesn't make it necessarily right.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Splitting hairs. I think about the way the left talks about Melania Trump. Because she's beautiful, isn't it amazing that the fact that Melania Trump is an immigrant to the country is a negative for Melania Trump for the left? The fact that she's stunningly beautiful, she's incredibly smart. I mean, there are things. Yes, she's posed nude. But the only thing that makes that all of those attributes about her unlikable for the left is that she votes Republican. Well, I guess she does. She certainly probably has voted for one Republican. But I mean, you look at somebody like Melania Trump, because she's beautiful, that's a negative towards her for people on the left. Like, the prettier you are, I don't know if you guys agree with this, but just like on the surface level, and we're talking, you said that it's the easy, lazy comment. The easy, lazy joke, that you're better than that. But the prettier you are as a public figure female, unless you're an actress or a performer of some kind, the prettier you are, the dumber you're assumed to be.
I've dealt with this firsthand.
Yeah. As an insulter or an insultee?
Insultee. Clearly.
Do you want people to insult you more? You're the dumbest person I know.
People say that a lot because of my looks.
Because you're so beautiful.
I assume it's because of my looks.
That's the only possible.
There's no
reason.
Other possible yeah. interpretation.
If I tell you you're the dumbest person I know right now, are you insulted or flattered?
I mean, how could I not be flattered? Because I know where that's coming from.
I don't know.
A deep place of insecurity.
Fine. One of the insults, I get two kinds of insults about my physicality on social media. One is that I'm fat, which I don't think I'm fat. I think I could lose weight, but I've had four kids and I'm 41. And like, come at me, bro, if you can do what my body has done. But the second one, which is the opposite of that, is that I fry my hair blonde and I've had so much Botox that Fox News, of course, would pick me up. And I don't work for Fox News. I do not color my hair, and I've never injected anything into my skin. So that is kind of like the backhanded compliment. Like, some people will say, oh, I find her attractive, therefore she must be, the phrase is, a Fox News bimbo. Which is all a long way to say to me that they think I'm dumb, because I disagree with them politically. Now, they haven't spent the time to consider what their arguments are against my arguments. They're not even remotely interested in it. This is a hobby for those people. Is it the same thing when someone only criticizes J.B. Pritzker because of his weight? The things that I get, that's because I have blonde hair, which is maybe more gray than blonde because I just quit coloring it. Is it the same thing?
I don't know. I think, honestly, that it is different for men and women. It just is. That making fun of a guy's appearance is different than making fun of a girl's appearance. And it's more acceptable when it's a guy.
Guys are more accepting of it.
Yes.
As men.
Yes. Right? Because we don't care as much.
Well, there's no physical thing that somebody could make fun of me for that I would be like, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, I will internalize those things. But I also understand who I am, what I have, where my value comes from. So if I get to where I am in my career and nobody's paying attention, like you're going to have the good and you're going to have the bad. And that's just the way it goes. And I'm sure Pritzker understands that. He's not unfamiliar with his physical presence. But I feel like every time someone takes a big swing with a bat and decides to try to go for the weight comment, I'm like, you missed the boat. You missed the opportunity here. Brad, what do you think?
I don't have a problem with it, especially since coming from that, from being a fat person. What I understand is like, yes, you can have weight issues and that sort of thing, but when you are morbidly obese, that is a choice that you have made.
So what Brad's talking about is you've lost, how much weight have you lost?
Over 100 pounds. I used to weigh 330 pounds, big guy, shopped at DXL, Destination XL, had to get the big clothes that they don't even sell the clothes in the regular store. I was very big. And the thing that I learned about that from myself is that it was a self-discipline issue for me. And it took a major health issue for me to realize that I was making poor life decisions. So I look at, I can look at people and go, that person's just a little bit overweight. It's nothing that they're doing. It's just kind of their body type. And I can look at somebody and go, yeah, but you need to make better decisions and you wouldn't be as overweight. So I look at J.B. Pritzker and he falls into that morbidly obese category. And I just don't have sympathy for people that have made the decision, because it is a decision, to be that much overweight. Now, I will give him credit. I think that he is losing weight.
Yeah, he is.
And to my...
Be ready, America. He's coming for the rest of you.
I was going to say, my theory is if you see a politician losing weight, they're getting ready to run for the presidency. So that man is getting ready to make a run at the presidency. It's usually your first indicator.
But I think Mike Pompeo.
I think that his weight is fair game. But you are, if that's all you're swinging at, you're wasting your time, because it has nothing to do with the major issues that his weight has nothing to do with the bad decisions that he makes as governor. So it's fair game, but I wouldn't waste a bunch of time on it.
I'm going to peek right now at the results here. I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Have a little peek-ski.
Ooh. Hmm. Is commenting on Governor J.B. Pritzker's weight fair game? If you want to peek at the results along with me, just go to the Any Fry YouTube channel. The live chat portion of today's live broadcast, that's where you can vote on it. If you go to AnnieFryShow.com as well, we always embed the current day's broadcast right there. You can watch it right there at AnnieFryShow.com. And if you click on that YouTube video that's up there, you'll get taken to YouTube where you can comment in the chat section and also vote in the poll. I wonder, I kind of wish I would have gone back and changed the possible answers to this. Is commenting on J.B. Pritzker's weight fair game? Yes or no? Yes, I'm a guy. Yes, I'm a girl. No, I'm a guy. No, I'm a girl.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Because you guys are both saying, like, it's not your best foot forward. But if you do, it's like, it's fine. You're a yes in this?
Yeah.
You're both a yes.
Yeah.
And you've heard how many times I've made weight jokes about J.B. Pritzker. About you. That's all fair. It's not often. I don't make those jokes. But I also, because it's honestly just too easy. It's just too, it's a layup. And I'd rather make a three. I'm really the focal point here.
All right, Caitlin.
Making myself into a real hero.
But you and Caitlin have one thing in common. A groin injury.
Wait.
I don't know. It's just a rumor going around.
Well, hold on a minute. Back this up.
No. Can't explain it. All right, let's go to a break. We come back to Be or Not to Be with Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got Greg Jarrett coming up in 15 minutes or so. And there's a lot to talk to him about. What did you originally book him on, and what day?
So I booked him. I was trying to book him on Monday or Tuesday, and he wasn't able to get on until today. And it was on the latest on the Russia. It was the Russia collusion grand jury. Whenever they formed that, and he's had a lot to say on that, a lot of articles and whatnot.
So in the matter of that amount of time, we've had Ed Martin named as the special prosecutor for the Adam Schiff and the Letitia James case as well, and we have subpoenas for the Epstein files through the House Oversight Committee and Congressman Comer. I feel like we need to have like an on-air identifier of which major investigation we're looking into at any time when we're talking about it.
Yeah,
I want to talk to Greg Jarrett for 45 minutes.
Well, if Greg Jarrett's cool with that, I bet you could.
I doubt he's cool with that. He's very kind to our show. He's very generous with our show. I don't want to overstep, but there's just so much.
Greg, can you stick around for 2-3 more segments?
Yeah, or just until the grand jury is done.
Yeah, do that.
We'll take that. There's just so much there.
The Justice Department now tapping a grand jury to look into the intelligence community's assessment of what was happening with Russia. Is that, you have nothing to do with directing the Justice Department?
No, nope, I have nothing to do. Pam is doing a great job. I have nothing to do with it. I will tell you this, they deserve it. I was happy to hear it. I actually read it just like you did. I have nothing to do with it. But what they did in the election, what they did in even the last election, but it was too big to rig. But what they did in the 2020 election is grotesque.
I have in my mind that he's got like this soundboard, but like in radio, a lot of times hosts will have a soundboard and they can just push a button and then it throws out a drop of some kind. In my mind, he has this like soundboard, and I don't know, like Stephen Miller's back there, and he's like, "Too big to rig, hit it," and then he's saying, "Oh, and it's too big to rig."
Yeah,
but he's had these same things for to go into. I know that there are people listening right now. I know there are people commenting right now who are going to be like, "Rapid fire, an answer to this." What has President Trump, since he's been the president of the United States, what has he pounded the table on over and over and over again that he was completely wrong about?
COVID would end by Easter.
No, that's not really what I'm... COVID started for us at basically the beginning of February. That's a 60-day...
So he didn't pound... Yeah, there wasn't
I mean, like, him talking about too big to rig, that is a five-year...
Yeah.
Like, that goes into the 2020 election... The Russia stuff goes back to 2016. Russia collusion, Hillary hoax, Hillary emails. I mean, China virus. He's been so repetitive with the things that he says when he says them. He's been so repetitive. But I don't think he was wrong. And I'm actually pretty astounded that he's been so publicly willing to commit, you know, sort of to the bit. It's not a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your DOJ working on this now. If there wasn't anything they were finding now, I think he would have pivoted. The fact that he's sticking with it now suggests that this story is just starting.
He's a convicted felon right now, and he's still stuck to it. Greg Jarrett coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or Not the Bee.
I like how the bumper coming into this segment was, we're back with more truth, and now a fake news segment.
I put a buffer in there.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good job. Right. These are stories that are either from the Babylon Bee, which would make them fake, or they're real. You got to tell me which is which. The first headline is, Congress invites Ghislaine Maxwell to come testify under dangling grand piano.
The Bee?
This is the Bee. That is correct. Quote, we'd love Miss Maxwell to sit exactly right there and tell us what she knows, said Senator Mitch McConnell. It's important for the world to find out as much information about the things Epstein was involved in. It's equally as important that Miss Maxwell be seated underneath that grand piano that's dangling by a suspiciously frayed rope. Just a little over to the left. That's perfect.
Aww.
Not a real news story.
Not going to lie, you had me in the first half.
All right. Trump gerrymanders U.S. to include Canada.
Zubby?
Zubby.
It's Zubby. It's done. I drew the line myself, Trump told reporters in the Oval Office after unveiling the order. Quote, I'm the president, and I have the power to draw the borders. This is something the president can do. Everyone agrees.
That's literally what Vladimir Putin said, and look where Russia is now.
Ethan with a hard, heavy right hook. Wow.
That's some great political commentary.
That was great analysis.
That's what
we're
I
not,
do.
We're not. No, it's not.
You're right. It's literally
not. That's
what you
do. Every once in a while, I'll be having a discussion, and I just make eye contact with Ethan, and he gives me the old hand across the neck, like, don't talk to me.
I don't know this one.
I don't think it's that he doesn't know. I think it's he doesn't want to comment. Different.
Anything else, Ethan, before we go on?
I'll save it for later.
Yeah, what do you think about inflation and tariffs? Yeah.
I said I'll save it for later.
Do you think he's doing the right move about sanctioning Russia right now, or
the B or not the B, buddy?
This is where I start.
He's really using India as a proxy, wouldn't you say?
I can't breathe. I'm drowning.
Okay, back
Ryan,
to the story.
This is where you jack around. We need you to get back in the game.
This is something the president can do. Everyone agrees. I included Canada, which is now our big, beautiful 51st state. Gerrymandering. It's a tremendous thing.
It is beautiful.
All right, next story. New York City opens transgender homeless shelter.
That's real.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's real.
It's real.
Yes, this is, in fact, real. New York City opened the nation's first government-funded homeless shelter exclusively for transgender people.
Why?
The article doesn't say. It says it's a move that's drawing sharp criticism, with opponents calling it yet another example of progressive political theater. The city reportedly is spending, ready for it? I'm going to pause for dramatic effect.
$7.
$63 million.
Oh my god.
Taxpayer dollars.
In taxpayer dollars to fund the project, which is set to operate through 2030.
Why do you think they need a homeless shelter for specifically transgender people? Why do you think the transgender people can't just go to other homeless shelters that already exist?
I don't know the answer to that.
Is it possible that they are suggesting that transgender people would not be safe around other people who aren't of the same gender identification?
Boy, that's tough. It does sound as if they're saying that.
So is it... Are we now at the point in this stupid progressive experiment where transgender people's gender can be protected in safe spaces, but men can still go urinate in women's bathrooms? Why are women the one who gets screwed at the end of all of this? Why are women always the ones who have to be like, keep your mouth shut and stay quiet so that the system can do what the system does? Where are my feminists at? This story frustrates me because I don't want somebody who has I don't want somebody who identifies as transgender, who's living homeless, to not have access to the things they need to hopefully no longer have to be homeless. I mean, I think that would be the ultimate goal of a homeless shelter, is to get you into civilized society where you can provide for yourself and be safe and make a living, whatever that might be. But the suggestion that there needs to be a transgender homeless shelter, to me, it pretty much seems like, in the stories that I've read, it's to make sure that they have a safe place to be. And if you're suggesting that their gender qualifies them to need to have a safe space from people of other genders, can women play this game too? Anyway, fun segment. Next.
Also, if you are really hungry and need a bed, wouldn't you walk up to that and go, I am a girl. Can I get food?
Let's watch how they police this.
Yeah, how do you decide, oh, that person's not actually transgender? How do you know? I just feel like it. I just feel like they're not.
Because tomorrow morning, I think I might be a man again.
Scooter
right now,
says transgender people get bullied. Yes, and women get raped by people with penises. I'm sorry if that's too graphic, but that's actually the way it is, which is why you protect them specifically in homeless shelters or in other places that are supposed to be private spaces for women. In my opinion, if you want to have this sort of safe space, women should be able to have theirs back as well.
Secret Service in awe as Trump walks on moderately sloped roof.
this is A plus B material.
Yeah, it is.
It's the White House.
Yes. The president's rooftop walk was just the latest in a growing list of seemingly superhuman feats accomplished during his time in office. Quote, he's not just a man, another agent said, still trying to regain his composure after what he witnessed. Have you seen the slope of the White House roof? It's moderate. And here's the leader of the free world just waltzing along like it's no big deal.
The videos of him walking around on the roof and yelling to the press with his hands cupped around his mouth, the memes that are coming out of this.
Oh, it's great.
It's A plus meme material. But when they're like, what are you doing up there? And he's like, putting nuclear missiles. And then he just takes his hand and just like pew, like up in the upward motion, yeah. Like pew, you know. And they're like, what? And he's like, nuclear missiles. Pew.
<It's> charades.
This guy.
From the top of the roof. Just,
can you imagine Joe Biden walking around the roof?
No, literally not. I can imagine him falling.
Don't jump.
What is it like when you're in the Oval Office and Trump is like, I think I'd like to go to the roof, Mr. President? No, we're going to go to the roof.
But it's moderately sloped.
Real quick, one more headline. Democrats declare gerrymandering bad until they need to gerrymander again.
Real.
It might be real.
Greg Jarrett next on the Annie Fry Show. So much to get to. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Honey's in the streets. Say money,
oh, we made it. You've got a ton.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.